Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Let's get it started in here.
And the bass keeps running, running, and running.
5 seconds left in the game.
Over.
You believe in miracles? Yes!
And running, and running, and running, running, and in this context, there's no disrespect. So when I bust my rhyme, you break your necks. We got 5 minutes for us to disconnect.
All the band is out on the field. He's going to go.
So I'm back away from tradition. Cause when we be out, girl, it's fully me that you wouldn't believe.
Smith pushing one in the right down the line. Comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good!
Let's get it started. Ha! Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Ha! Let's get it started in here. Let's get it.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to the opening line. We are your hosts, Wits and Roz. We're back. I gotta tell you, Wits, I can already tell I'm exhausted. I'm gonna do my best for the energy levels today, but I'm exhausted. It has been another long week, especially the last 48 hours. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. I'm pretty tired myself. Started another softball league last week, so six games a week. It's pretty tough on a 26-year-old body when you're not really doing much else.
Dude, I'm telling you, I'm with you on that. I played 9 basketball games last Sunday. Outside of like sunburn on my forehead and face, I got a strained bicep, which I didn't know you could do. I like went in. This is the perks of having a friend that's a physical therapist. Huge. Goes a long way. People are like, no famous people, no chefs, no teachers. No, no physical therapists. They're the ones who will take care of your ailing bodies, even at the age of 26. It's rough out there, man. It is, dude. It's tough. We got a lot to talk about. The NBA is where your head and my head has been at most recently. I'm going to get you to poke around a little baseball because we're almost there. Folks, ladies and gentlemen of the opening line fan base, which, by the way, most downloads we've ever had in a month this month. We broke a number I didn't think we were going to break. So thank you guys.
Was it 3?
It is 200 times that. So that impressed to say the least. Especially since we don't hear from you guys. I swear to God, if there is anybody listening and these aren't, like, I don't even know how things get downloaded these days, but if anybody's listening, at EthanRose4Me on Instagram, all you want, you just be on the show. You'd be a co-host. You could take my spot, honestly. That's how busy life is getting. But let me bitch for a second before we get into anything. The Olympics are coming this summer, and I was going to say we're 2 weeks away from doing fantasy football breakdowns, which – you know, gets me going. I mean, more so than Riley Reed, who just got married. So I'm looking at the Olympics. They're coming up. And I don't think, like, basketball is not what I think about when it comes to the Olympics, but that's what I'm about to rag on. And Wits, I know you're going to look up Olympic stuff. Don't worry. You don't need any stats for this. I'm looking up. So listen to this year's U.S. basketball team. Zach LaVine, who, no disrespect, obviously, because he's a Chicago Bull. Jeremy Grant from the Pistons. We've got Bam Adebayo, Jason Tatum, Kevin Love, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, Devin Booker, who will be cool to see. Draymond Green, who I don't think has been a viable NBA option in the last 5 years since their last title. Damian Lillard and Kevin Durant. Bradley Beal as well. And I see that roster. I'm like, maybe the United States is the best country for basketball in the world. And then I think to myself, Kevin Durant's the only person on that list. He's going for his third gold medal. I know Kevin Love was on the 2012 team, but Draymond Green's the only other returner. And that guy is just, he's not a scoring option. He might get in the other team's head. I think the USA is in some trouble. And you can tell me if I'm wrong, but if I'm throwing Jeremy Grant out there, I think Luka and the Croatians or wherever he's from are going to have a field day.
I don't know about that, Roz. I mean, you know, maybe we are missing a couple of the best players, but this is a pretty damn good team. I mean, Damian Lillard, I think you've made the argument before that he could be the best point guard in the NBA. Jason Tatum and Devin Booker, two of the best young stars that the league has to offer. And then, you know, maybe we're lacking a little bit on the big man side of things, but I think Bam Adebayo is, I would say, a top 10 center in the league.
But then there's my problem. And I think DeAndre Ayton's already better. And we're going to get into this, obviously, because he just had one of the craziest plays ever. But you don't even have a Jimmy Butler on this team. You don't have a Russell Westbrook. You don't have a James Harden, who I know, hamstring injury. No LeBron, no AD, no Steph Curry. I mean, even Klay Thompson. You're missing a lot. I just want that to be known. I mean, De'Aaron Fox isn't on that list, and I think De'Aaron Fox is an interesting option. I know you can only have so many point guards on a team.
I think this is a bit of an overreaction by you.
No. I want to – because look what's happening. Giannis won't play for us. Got that. Jokic won't play for that. Got that. Doncic won't play for us. Absolutely not. Those are might be the stars of the league. There's five guys on a court at one time. I think Luka beats some of these teams that they throw out there by himself. I do. It's the same with Jokic. He beats Jeremy Grant on the regular.
Jason, what he got against Jeremy Grant? He was going to be the comeback player of the year for most of the year. He came in second. I mean, let me ask you this then.
All right.
Who do you want to see on the USA team?
I think I named everybody I want that should be on the USA team. You go to win for your country, and I get it. They've already done it enough. But, like, even Chris Paul. Think about it, like, Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade, Chris Paul, LeBron James. Those guys never took an Olympics off, and now LeBron is.
Coming back. I don't know if I want LeBron on this team.
I want him. He's the staple of the United States.
I mean, if they can't win the gold medal with this group of guys,
You watch and see. No AD. That's another big one. I think AD is the most important big man in the United States.
But he's hurt. I think it's an overreaction, buddy. I appreciate your passion for the Olympics, but I mean that if that team can't win it, then we're in a lot.
I don't know, man. I think we are. I think this is going to be. Which one did we lose? We lost to Spain once, didn't we?
Yeah, I think it was the Gasol brothers.
Maybe, I have no idea. Zach LaVine, really? The Bulls suck. You know what I'm looking at? This is what I'm looking at. A bunch of guys who can shoot the ball. There's not anything else on that team. There's only one ball. These are all scorers. Bradley Beal, losing team. All he did was score. Zach LaVine, all he did was score. Damian Lillard, the same issue.
What are you going to say about Dame?
I will. You know what? I'm going to put it on the list.
You've done nothing but praise him.
I have praised him, but on this team, too many scorers. Nothing else. There's nothing else there. It's literally, when I look at this, this is what they built. They built a team only shooter. Devin Booker, scorer. This is what they did. They
put Draymond Green, not a scorer.
That's about to be my joke. This is what it is. They literally put every scorer from the United States on one team and then Draymond Green. Because the guy has the ugliest shot in the NBA. And the only thing he's going to do in that game is be like, I'm trying to think of like a great analogy. It's like everyone outside. It's like he's going to be that football machine that spits footballs out at you. Honestly, he's just going to stand at the free throw line and just go. And this is bad radio because you can't see me doing what I'm doing. But it's just going to shoot out at the three-point line. There won't be one layup or dunk. It's going to be everybody.
That's what he does. He's an assist guy now.
Everyone's just going to shoot a three. And you know what Bam Adebayo is there for? Rebounds.
Yeah, you need somebody.
Only guy there, Kevin Love. Those were empty stats. Those were empty stats in Minnesota. I don't want it.
No, I'm going to say Kevin Durant's a pretty good rebounder.
When he got to give me. In the NBA playoffs. This is like – there's no way he's playing Uzbekistan and getting rebounds. You know, like
– Well, because he won't need to then.
Dude, Kevin Durant won't cross half court. He won't play defense. He will stand right in between the halfway point of the half court line and whatever the international 3-point line is. And these guys are going to have to learn the FIBA ball. So
I'm sure they've been okay in the past. I'm sure they'll figure it out.
Well, okay. The Olympics, We're going to move on. I might have over-exaggerated. It's okay. I think we're going to lose. I'm going to be the negative Nelly. But before we get into sports, I'm curious about gambling on the Olympics. Me and you've never done it. Like, there's something about betting on horses racing. I feel horrible betting on, like, humans racing. I don't know why I have that issue. But it is what it is. And now a word from our sponsor, who is also gambling-related. The month of June is heating up. For Witz and I, it's going gnarly. And there's tons of exciting sports action, and Bet Online is where you can find it. From basketball and hockey playoffs to baseball's marquee matchups, including prop bets and futures, Bet Online has all the latest odds, news, and information for all of your online sports betting needs. Visit the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So before the next tip-off, face-off, or pitch ahead, head on over. See, they needed an extra comma there. That one I wasn't even going to mess up. Head on over to Bet Online and start playing today. Bet Online, your online sporting expert. And just because they didn't put it in their own thing, go to betonline.ag. That's where you need to go. I guess I'm writing their prompts for them. All right, Witz. Yeah,
natural copywriters.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Witz. NBA playoffs. Four teams left. Atlanta Hawks happen to be one of them.
I mean, I feel like that's a great place to start.
Yeah.
We got to talk about the debacle that was the 76ers.
Go into it. I'm grabbing a water. Break down the series a little bit and how you feel about the 76ers, because warm me up for the Ben Simmons rip that is coming.
So, you know, overall, the 76ers, what we've been hearing the past 8 years, right? It's been the trust the process. Sam Hinkie started it. It was the acquisition of a bunch of draft picks. Looking at it now, I would say it didn't really work out so well, right? We had Jahlil Okafor, a couple other big misses by the 76ers, but they kind of rallied around, put together a pretty good team, right? A team that got the number one seed in the East. And whatever you want to say about that, 76ers, I would say, were a top four team in the East. Absolutely. And, you know, just looking at the team they put together, right, you've got Joel Embiid, who I think when he's on the court is the best center in the game. You've got Tobias Harris, who I think is a pretty good number three option. And we're not going to get to him quite yet, but the fact that the 76ers not only lost this series, but the fashion in which they lost it, you know, being up 20-plus points in game five, being up in game seven, and really just melting down in the fourth quarter, I think of four different games, right? Because if you watch just all the first halves of that series, you would have said, this is four, maybe five games. But the Atlanta Hawks just hung around and hung around, and the 76ers, in what was, I would say, one of the biggest meltdowns I've ever seen from an entire series perspective, from a game seven perspective. It was truly disgusting to me. And I'm not a 76ers fan. I didn't bet on the 76ers. I actually had the Bucks to win the East, so I wasn't angry when they lost. But, Roz, looking at the whole culmination of the trust the process, all these different pieces, number one seed, where are we left now? Because I think this 76ers team, we're getting close to dismantling the whole thing. Yeah. And
you joked about it other day that they're potentially 2 years removed from being that team that set the record for worst win percentage in the season.
Right. They're a couple years away from that. And
we're gonna have to trust the new process. What do you do when you've already tried trusting the process? What do you do after that?
The first thing about the process is I don't think it was very good to begin with. I mean, before you have a process and you get players, you need to establish a winning culture. Right, you look at some of the best teams in any league, right? It's just kind of the culture. It's a winning culture, right? Whether we're going to talk about, you know, the Packers, you know, the Patriots, the Cardinals, the Yankees. I mean, just there's always different players, right? But these teams always seem to be competing. The 76ers, to me, never really had that. And although they put together a very good team with – I'm not going to say a very good coach, because if you want to look at Doc Rivers' past 10 playoffs, there's a lot of funny stuff out there that you can read of how many games and series he's blown. But Roz, I think the takeaway And the biggest topic of conversation in this series was a guy that I kind of feel bad for right now. And it's Ben Simmons. And I know you have a lot of thoughts, but I'm gonna let you go in on.
Dude, you only feel bad because he's getting ripped on so hard.
Yeah, that's part of it. But I've got my take, but I want you to go in. Tell me about, you know, Ben Simmons, where we stand, and is there any light at the end of the tunnel here?
No, I'm about to go in, but tell me if I'm wrong. Here's a quick one. There's another overreaction potentially. They missed JJ Redick. That was a bad release. And I can go into the Jimmy Butler thing, which I might go into when I talk about the Ben Simmons thing here in a second. End of the day, needed somebody to make a shot. Didn't have JJ Redick out there.
But
that was a win. They won more games. They did have Seth Curry. And that's an overreaction by Roz. All right, so we're back over here where Seth Curry is the number two there. No longer Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons isn't even top five. The guy was on the bench for the final 2 minutes of the series. Ben Simmons, here's my issue with it. It was this product of – it's funny because in a world where Seth Curry reigns supreme, and if you're a kid at any age playing basketball, you're like, oh, my God, let me shoot out the gym. Then you get products like Trae Young. You get products like Damian Lillard. But then there's also the players who are just so highly praised due to their like body size and their athleticism. And that's what Ben Simmons is. And honestly, at the college basketball level, and especially in the SEC, the years he was there, the SEC was never a dominating force in college basketball. So this kid, the biggest guard probably in the SEC, dominated between the lines, and which lines I'm talking about are the paint lines. And it just looked good. It just looked like he had the NBA body. And the idea is, and I think not everybody can be LeBron James, the idea is that you come in and be this super athlete and you can then later work on your shot. And that's what LeBron ultimately has done with his career. Andrew Wiggins a little bit as well, honestly. And that was the big knock on Andrew Wiggins was, will he be able to shoot? And Ben Simmons won't shoot at all. It's not even that he's a bad shooter. He won't shoot it. Like, you can't even tell if he's a bad shooter or not because the ball never leaves his hand in a shooting motion. It's insane. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah, and, Roz, I want to back up the argument with some stats because I think what we saw in that series was the culmination of everything that could have possibly gone wrong with 76ers and Ben Simmons, and it got played out on the national stage, so it seemed like the world was coming to an end. The thing about Ben Simmons for me, I mean, coming out of LSU, right? I think it was kind of known that he wasn't like a very good shooter, right? But what he was,
I don't know if to this extent. I think you're right. I think it was known he wasn't a shooter.
Right. But I mean, if you look at, Ben Simmons' stat line the past 4 years, I mean, the guy averages 16, 8, and 8, shoots about 55%. So just on the outset there, like, if Ben Simmons isn't going to take 10 jumps out of the game, that's fine with me. Like, if he can be a facilitator, he's a great defender, right? Can't take that away from him. But the 76ers to me, and I don't know if this is a organizational problem, a coaching problem, or maybe it's a Ben Simmons problem too. But the fact that you have a former number one overall pick who has been your point guard the entire year look so lost on the basketball court. I mean, it was honestly hard to watch. And like you said, Roz, not putting him in the top five, he wasn't on the floor the last 2 minutes of the game. And it was very obvious why. Is because he can't shoot free throws, right? And that's
the only time you got to see him shoot it.
Right. So for me, Ben Simmons, it was like, you know, first it was the free throws, you know, not shooting like 30%, like abominably bad. Right. I mean, even the 7-footers who the ball is like a tennis ball in their hand, most of them can shoot 50%. But Ben Simmons just looked so scared and so apprehensive out there because he knew that the only way he can really score is to take the ball to the rack. But that comes with a big risk of getting fouled. So to me,
and how about really, a wide open dunk that he passed on?
Right. That was kind of the culmination of everything that was wrong with the 76ers and Ben Simmons was when he passed up that dunk and passed it to Matisse Thybulle, who only made one free throw, and they never took a lead again in that game. So for me, that the Ben Simmons thing, it was just a spiral that kept getting worse and worse. And it was at its worst point when the most people were watching in game seven of, you know, the Eastern Conference semis. And he took a lot of crap for it. Still is taking a lot of crap because it's really unacceptable. Right? I mean, to not be on the floor the last 2 minutes of the game because you can't execute one of the most simple things in the game. It's just a microcosm of the 76ers as a whole. Just a little bit dysfunctional and not getting the job done.
And let me tell you, no city in the world you want to pull that shit in less than Philadelphia. I'll let you know.
Right. So for me, I think the Ben Simmons experiment in Philadelphia needs to end because I don't see a guy like that coming back and really making things work. Now, for me personally, and I think that's a guy still with a lot of potential because, you know, like we said, maybe he can't shoot, but he can do a lot of things well, right? He can rebound. He can pass the ball. He's one of the better defenders in the league. So as a point guard, right, you know, maybe your point guard doesn't have to be the guy that puts up 25 points a game, right? That's why we got five spots in the floor. But, you know, for Ben Simmons, I mean, the first thing got to be the free throws. Because if the only thing you can do is stick to the rack, that's fine with me. But you can't shoot 35% from the line because then what's going to happen, right? The guy refuses to shoot the ball. And then when he's right under the basket, he doesn't shoot the ball at the most critical moment in the game. And that was it was just hard to watch. It was a little bit cringeworthy, and I felt for him a little bit. But, you know, overall, 76ers, I'm just shaking my head. That's the only way I can look at the end result of that series because there's no reason the Atlanta Hawks had any business winning that series. But meanwhile, here they are.
Yeah, I'm with in this process that they had talked about for so long. Think about it starting with like Markelle Fultz, another point guard they drafted that can't score. I know he's getting better wherever he is, and I know he had a shoulder injury and legitimately forgot how to shoot. I don't know how that happens, but it happens, you know. I don't want to dog on that guy too hard, but it's time for Ben to move on. I think Philadelphia, I've seen some things about, I mean, his value being as low as trading him for CJ McCollum, but I don't get that on the Portland side. I really wouldn't want Ben Simmons complimenting Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard needs other people helping him score. That's the problem there. They're also Swiss cheese defense over there, but like, and which I guess Simmons could come in and help, but they need other people to be accountable and take some of the load off of Damian. And I don't think Ben Simmons necessarily does that. I saw one team. I saw the doctoring up of one thing. I saw an image of Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Ben Simmons in the middle of that. That, for some reason, was the first time a light bulb went in my head, and I was like, ding, that could work. That is the space that could work. He really doesn't need to score there. He really just needs to be a premier defender on the perimeter against bigger guards that Curry and Klay can't stay in front of. That would be an interesting place, and the Warriors have the pick to do it this year. The Warriors also still have James Wiseman, who they saw or drafted last year, so they've got a big man down low. Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, Ben Simmons. If there was one place Ethan's okay seeing him go because he won't be a detriment to that team, I think Golden State is where you would land if you're Ben Simmons.
Yeah, no, that'd be very interesting. But yeah, Roz, looking at where Ben Simmons is at now, I think Philly's in a little bit of trouble here, right? They've got, you know, almost $100 million committed to three guys, right? Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid.
$300 million.
Well, I mean, like per year.
Yeah, per year. Right?
Out of the cap. Like basically almost their entire cap is three guys. Tobias Harris, I was a big fan of earlier in the playoffs, but he kind of pulled a little ghost effect there at the end of the last couple games in the fourth quarter. Wasn't really there. And Joel Embiid, say what you want about him on the floor, he's the best center in the league. But one key question is, how often is he on the floor? Because it seems like that guy is one knee injury or one foot injury away from never playing again, and he's always hurt. And I give him a lot of credit for gutting it out. But, I mean, a guy that big getting hurt this often, how long can it last? I really don't know. And nobody's going to say this, but I will. Joel Embiid, back-to-back games with seven turnovers. I know he is basically doing everything, but
that's too much. That's too much. And nobody's going to give him flack because the whole Ben Simmons thing, that's too many turnovers. And that was one of the reasons of many why they lost the series.
Well, it was definitely the nail in the coffin, the final turnover of the game. Yeah, honestly, Philadelphia is in some trouble. Doc Rivers can say whatever he needs to say about fixing their problems in the offseason. But we don't have to worry about them, Wits, because the Atlanta Hawks are the team who we're giving – who we should be giving credit to for – should be knocked off by the Knicks, should be knocked off by the 76ers, but not today, they say. They fight on. And now they got the Milwaukee Bucks, a team that we had given all the shit in the world to after dropping game five, and they came back and were like, hey, we'll take 6 and 7. Don't you worry. They take 6 and 7. They knock off the Nets and KD. Giannis gets to avoid some criticism for another round, and he gets the Atlanta Hawks. The Bucks 8-point favorites tonight, which is insane. I told you this when we spoke earlier today. I think they come out and put the smack down on the Hawks and kind of end this conversation of do the Hawks stand a chance to be an NBA finalist out of the East. And I really think this is going to be a quick series. I understand the heart, the will, the grit of this Hawks team. And a week from now, I can be tucking my tail between my legs, being like I was completely wrong. But from everything I'm looking at, even as dramatic as the Bucks get and how bad they can play in certain moments, I think this is one they come out of.
I would like to think that, but I'm still in shock that the Bucks won that series, because even if James Harden never came back, it was just hard for me to picture the Bucks winning an important game, because it seems like they never have for the past 2 years. But now we sit here, and part of me thinks you might be right, Roz. Maybe beating the Nets was like the monkey off of their back that they needed to just go on an explosion. Because I think on the outset, you look at the Bucks team, I mean, that it's a very solid team. And when guys like – when Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday are playing like they can, and Giannis is doing his – just putting his head down, going 30 and 15, whatever, it's a very solid team. Right. And I'm still surprised they won against the Nets, but I think they're clearly the better team than the Hawks. But I mean, the 76ers were as well. So for me, I'm going to set the over under at 6.5 in this series. If it goes over 6.5, the Bucks are going home. But I think this is going to be a 4 or 5 game series. And I think the Bucks are just better. And they're going to prove that here.
The Bucks better not let Atlanta push them to 7. That would be
I think the Bucks are going to run out of luck if that's the case. But yeah, overall, you know, we really haven't talked about the Hawks at all. But I give them a lot of credit, though. I mean, Trae Young, you know, even when he wasn't scoring, still facilitating, seemed to come up with that big shot when they really needed it. You know, I know that tough field goal percentage at times, but you know, guys like John Collins, Clint Capella, Bogdanovich really didn't have, I think, that good of an end of the series. But, you know, guys like Kevin Huerter, Solomon Hill, you know, just a bunch of – seemed like role players really stepping up to the table. And you have to give them credit, because nobody gave them a chance to beat the Knicks, even though it was like a 50-50 series. Nobody gave them a chance against Philly. And I don't think people are giving them any chance against the Bucks, but from what I've seen so far – you know, how can you not give him a little bit of a shot here? Because, I mean, it was amazing, right, how many people took the Knicks over the Hawks when it was like a 50-50 series. It was like 90% of the people were on the Knicks, myself included.
Yeah. I know you were. Yeah, I guess. I mean, I haven't really been dogging Atlanta. I think this is the first time I'll come in and be like, hey, this is over. And I'm sure I thought Philadelphia would take care of Atlanta, and I'm glad I really didn't bet the last round of the playoffs. It was kind of hard to bet after. There it is. There's the yawn for the fans at home. It was pretty hard to bet after the Suns swept the Nuggets, and it was just all over the place when it came to the Clippers Jazz series. Yeah, I'll give an ounce of a shot for the Atlanta Hawks, but like I said, if I have it my way, I believe the Bucks could win this in a broom fashion, a quick sweep of the series. Now, we're already two games. What's crazy is that series hasn't even started. We're already two games in to the Suns-Clippers series. Clippers with quite the statement series win over the Utah Jazz, not even getting to a game seven, coming back from 26 points down in the second half to win game six. That was impressive. The Suns obviously swept the Nuggets. Now we're at 2-0 for the third series in a row. The Clippers are down 2-0. The last one, they won 4 in a row, which is crazy. What do you see now after such a crazy play? I always think that goes one of two ways. They're coming home, so that could be nullified, or that happened and they're just demoralized. Like 0-2 for the third straight time on that kind of a loss could be the end of the Clippers. I know you think they have more fight in them.
Yeah, I do think they have more fight in them. And Roz, I mean, they're already the only team in NBA history to come back from 2-0 deficit. So, you know, who's to say they can't do it again? They are going home. A couple big takeaways from game two. First on the league, the last 2 minutes of regulation took 30 minutes in real time. And I don't give a crap what was going on. That is unacceptable. The amount of reviews, it was like review, 3 second play, foul, commercial, 3 second play, review. It was ridiculous. It was hard to watch. And I think the funny thing about that last play, the Suns were actually out of timeouts, but because the last play was under review for about 4 minutes, that play came out of that final regroup there. So if you're the Suns, I would say that's a little bit lucky, because normally you don't have any timeouts. You can't draw up that kind of play, but that's exactly what happened. And I mean, talking about the play, Roz, it was awesome. Right. And I think the first thought for most people who were cheering for the Clippers was, you know, that's goaltending. You can't do that, but there's actually no goaltending on an inbounds play.
Nope.
So it was perfection, and it was awesome to see DeAndre Ayton put it in, because I love Ayton, and he's been growing on me this playoffs. I know we were kind of questioning at the start of the year, you know, whether he'd be a key piece in the Suns making a playoff run, and I think the answer is absolutely yes. Then on the other side of the ball, Roz, what's going to get lost in the shuffle here is Paul George making two go-ahead buckets in the last minute, down one both times. But what does everybody remember? The two missed free throws with 12 seconds left, up one. And man, the playoff P narrative, I thought it was pushed away last series, right? Down 2-0 against the number one seed. Kawhi goes down. He puts the team on his back, just absolutely takes it to the Jazz for 4 games in a row. And now he has another big chance, right? Maybe that game goes to overtime. Maybe the Suns missed that shot. But you missed two free throws down the stretch. That play to Ayton happens. They lose the game by one. The narrative is back, right? It's Paul George doesn't perform in the playoffs, which I think is a little bit unfair, but it's amazing. He makes two buckets within the last minute, but doesn't make the free throws, and that's what we all remember. So, man, another guy I feel a little bit bad for, because I really respect what Paul George has done this playoffs. You got to make your free throws, man. You got to make at least one there.
You got to make your free throws, as our brothers at the Charity Stripe would say on the Believe Podcast Network. You're right. He did hit two super important shots. And oh, man. Jeez, Witch. It's been late this year. Or late in the day here. No, the free throws also, ultimately, yes, you need to make them. Would have put him in a situation where could have gone to overtime, or you hold on to the win. Obviously, they weren't trailing, so those free throws didn't cost it for them. Ultimately, you can then look back to your defense for letting up a shot with 0.9 seconds left. But yeah, I think people will probably take the free throws and the playoff P narrative and run with it. This next game is actually currently slated at a 1.5 in favor of the Phoenix Suns on the road. Again, I'm under the impression, me and you are on opposite sides here, that they did just demoralize the Clippers, and I think maybe they get Chris Paul back. I have no idea. But if they do, I think they're going to run away with game three. I think they're going to do what they did against the Denver Nuggets, and I think they're going to come out fucking hot and just run away, win by 20. The games have been close so far in the series, and I think we're one for one quick run to start the game away from that thing getting out of hand and Patrick Beverley pushing Devin Booker the wrong way one more time. It's going to lead Devin Booker to put up a 50 spotter on him. So that's my take. I would rip the 1.5 for game 3.
Yeah, Russ, I don't see the Clippers. I don't see them dropping game 3 here. I mean, they obviously was an extremely close game in game 2. And, you know, one thing that we've seen from the Clippers this playoffs, they've been unbelievable at making adjustments, right? When it seems like all is lost. You know, you remember when it was 2-0 against the Mavs, people were calling for Ty Lue's head, trashing the Clippers. They come back, Jazz, same thing, they come back. So one thing I got to give them credit for is actually making those in-series adjustments, which is something that the Jazz and Quinn Snyder didn't do any of, right? They just said, this is what got us here, this is what we're going to do, and they got their butts kicked because they didn't do anything differently. So for game 3 with the Clippers here, it seems like besides Paul George, every important game, they always have a key guy step up, right? Whether it's Reggie Jackson, whether it's Marcus Morris, whether it's Batum, whether it's Terrence Mann. So for me, I feel like they're just going to have another great effort from a guy who's really not the main source of attraction, right? It's Paul George. He's the top guy. I would say Reggie Jackson's probably the number 2. But I think they're going to have another key effort here, make some adjustments. And this Clippers team, it completely changed my tune from earlier this year. So I thought they weren't that good. But now that I'm looking at it, I think they're actually a very solid team. And the way they've been able to compete without maybe the best player in the NBA has also been very impressive. So I don't see them dropping game 3 here. So if I were to make a bet on the game, I would just take the Clippers money line.
Okay. You got to do what you got to do. We haven't been hitting the horn too much on this. Wits, I'm forcing you into it. It'll be quick. We'll head out of the show on it. We have to do it. I have it pulled up on CBS right now. I'm looking at it as we speak. I know exactly, you know what I'm talking about. I'm lost for words. I barely pay attention to baseball until the postseason goes. And while you're pulling it up, we might as well talk about baseball being arguably the most stained sport in American history now, with pitching issues, with substances being used to pitch, as well as some other cheating scandals coming out and about. But outside of that, baseball just hasn't been that exciting for me. The Cubs have been. The Cubs are in L.A. this weekend. I'm going Sunday, so I'll be in attendance, Dodger Stadium. Go, Cubby, go. We'll be seeing Kershaw for the 3rd or 4th time in my lifetime. What a number one here, Wits. I wouldn't have guessed it, and I'm not like the baseball star of this podcast, but 47-26, number one in the power rankings, the San Francisco Giants. Is this the ghost of the Buster Posey-led team? The Giants that won every calendar year that read an even number behind it? I mean, come on. Number one team in baseball right now, ahead of the Dodgers and Padres, who are sitting at respectively 2nd and 8th on the power rankings. Blowing my mind, Wits. I don't even think I can name a player on the Giants right now, if you ask me.
Yeah, Raz, really an amazing story here, right? We talked about Major League Baseball and the NLS specifically. It was, you know, Padres, Dodgers. Can the Padres possibly take down the Dodgers? But meanwhile, we have the Giants here. And I don't think people had them winning more than 70 games this year, right? This was supposed to be a very bad Giants team. But like you said, the ghost of Buster Posey has awoken, right? He's having a great year. And this Giants team, I mean, no matter what you think about them, even if you don't believe still, they are 20 games over 500. So, I mean, you don't play 70 games in the major leagues. And at a certain point, you are what your record says you are. And the Giants are playing some fantastic baseball right now, and is making this NL West just a little bit tougher for the Dodgers and the Padres. So,
Holy hell. I didn't even know Buster Posey was still playing. He's batting .328 with an OBP of .408, 12 home runs, 27 RBIs. The guy's on one. The ghost is awoken. It's not even a word.
Yeah, the ghost is absolutely awake. So the NL West, I mean,
Evan Longoria on the team too. This is a blast of the 2012 past.
Yeah, this is the all 2010 team coming back in 2021.
Tommy La Stella's giving a little help here and there. My God. Brandon Belt. I mean, these guys are fucking pushing 40, and they're going for a World Series this year. Johnny Cueto. No way this guy's actually pitching.
Oh my God. He actually still is.
Oh, my God. Holy smokes. Look at this. That's impressive. Clearly, I don't pay enough attention to baseball because this is blowing my mind.
So you could have pulled up like the 2012 power rankings.
That's what I'd be expecting. I mean, I don't remember I'm sure the Dodgers were fucking great back then too. The Dodgers are like the Yankees in the NL. I know fans would argue that that's the Cardinals who have won the most World Series, but my God. I mean, then we got the Dodgers at 2. We've got the Astros at 3. The Houston Astros. I can't even be that hard on them anymore after learning that there is suspicion, there's cheating all across the league.
It's just running rampant.
Running rampant. It's not great. But the Astros are 45-28. The Mattress King, who's very famous for betting a lot of his earnings on games, put $2 million for the Astros to win the World Series. If it were to hit, the payout would be $22 million, which would be the largest U.S. sports betting win in history.
Yeah, Mattress Mac, he's back at it again. I think he, made a big wager on the Bucks in the Super Bowl, so he's doing well. I think it's kind of a cool story. You know, he runs a big promotion for his store, which I think ties into the Astros winning. I think if they win, people get like free mattresses, something like that. So it's partly a hedge, partly he just makes big bets and people talk about him, and it's pretty cool. So, yeah, he made it at like 4 different sports books. And you said 2 million, but I think it was 2 million at one spot. It was a million at another spot, like 500 grand, like on DraftKings in Colorado, wherever it was, came out to a little more than 3.5 million in total. So, I don't know. I could see Houston doing it. I mean, I thought they might have done it last year, but I mean, they're on a roll, 116 in their last 20. This is a very good team still. So, you know, we'll see what happens here. You know, the Yankees are playing like shit. So in the AL right now,
it's really open, especially with like, although I know you don't like me bringing his name up because you forgot who he was. Good friend. He's been on the show multiple times. Matt Collada. His White Sox are sitting in 4. Not even the Cubs. The Cubs are no longer the leader in Chicago on the power rankings. Carlos Rendon turning into an ace. There's a lot of injuries still there, and they're 44-30. We'll see. That team's only going to get healthier and potentially better.
The Sox are exciting.
Yeah.
They're very exciting. Like you said, they're playing great right now. I mean, they get guys like Luis Robert and Eloy Jimenez, get a fully healthy pitching staff. It's a scary team. A team that I think could definitely win the AL, if not the entire thing. I mean, Tony La Russa, they're playing some good baseball right now.
Tony La Russa might be a cockbag, but they're playing good baseball.
Well, they absolutely are. So, we'll see what happens here. But, you know, once the NBA Finals are over, we'll definitely start focusing a little bit more. We'll be kind of near the All-Star break in the MLB. And then, we'll really start diving in. Getting those rankings dialed up every single week for you.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's fun to see these rankings again. Giants, Dodgers, the only two NL teams before you get to the 8th spot with the Padres, because then you got Astros, White Sox, Athletics, Rays, and Red Sox. Cubbies are at 9 before we stop mentioning teams on this list. Cubbies are going to go through a stretch from May 28th to the All-Star break where they only play 3 teams under 500, which is absolutely asinine. And hopefully they've been playing good ball. Like I said, I'm excited to go see them play. Patrick Wisdom has been – I don't even know how to explain it. His wisdom is mighty for sure. But that's what I got for baseball. Any funny sports stories to go – anything like wild this week that happened that I need to comment on, that I need to give an opinion that nobody gives a shit about? I don't think there was. Do you know of any?
Not that I can think of. I mean, I'm sure there was one, but – I don't know. I mean, it's very, very NBA focused right now.
It is NBA focused. They're dominating. They had their draft lot or the draft lottery, which is separate from the draft. Yesterday, the Rockets are going to get the second pick. That organization could have I believe, in my opinion, just the way the NBA drafts have been working out, they could have three first overall picks the next 3 years, and I still don't think they come out of like below 500. It's just a douchey comment by me, but I stand by it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But I just, the Bulls weren't anywhere up there. I think they traded their pick, so I didn't really even.
Who gives a shit?
At it.
It's Nikola Vukovic or bust, baby. Give me the Vuk train, baby. No, we don't need no Jokic or Nurkic or Jokic or Bokic or Doncic. We just need Vukic. Give it to me.
I'm all about it.
That is
playoffs next year.
Maybe. We hope. You know, one could hope. Kobe White becomes so big that our money we threw into a hole for his card comes back to us somehow. But that's the opening line. Screw NFTs. Ethereum hopefully goes well. And we'll be back next week, 1 week closer to the NFL being mentioned and talked about in full on the opening line. Hopefully we get something cool going on. Like I said, by the time you hear from us next, I'm sure Suns will be in the NBA Finals. That's all I got. Catch you next week. This has been The Opening Line with your hosts, Wits and Smoke Rods.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.